Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Leidman. Hello, hello everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelban. Hello. Today we'd like to have a special talk. Recently we had the big disaster in Nepal with the avalanche, and nature leaves you kind of helpless. And we'll try to understand what's going on in the system of nature. Tal, please go ahead. So we wanted to continue our previous talk where we talked about nature as a system, a sensitive system, or at least that we have some relations with it that we have to understand a bit more deeply. And nonetheless, we're talking in terms of traveling, backpackers, a person experiencing, trying to somehow connect with nature, truly enjoys it. And as a first question I'd like to ask you, I know that you travel a lot around the world. It's traveling, you think. What is your attitude when you go out into the world? Wherever I go, the truth is I leave myself a few moments to be in nature. And so it happens that sometimes I steal for myself, some time on the way. I can't walk for a long time anymore, but what I feel in nature, I remember that with my teacher, we used to go daily for a few hours into the woods, and we used to walk there and talk through a field and a forest again, and field and forest, really beautiful places on the way to Jerusalem. It's far from the roads, it's far from the places where people live. It was very beautiful, very good. What I feel when I'm in nature, I feel a force. I feel that it's a natural force. And not that I feel myself higher or bigger than it. On the contrary, it's a force that controls me. Only I'm not aware of it as a person. Because the still vegetative inanimate is that very same envelope in which we exist as people. And therefore, on the one hand, we distance from the still vegetative inanimate. On the other hand, we want to come closer to them, meaning to understand that this entire system, it has to be as one system, that we, by our ego, our evil inclination, which develops in us, by which we are different from the animate, on a level where we come out of the animate and we grow from it. In height, we're growing by a bad force of control, that we're distancing from nature. We want to control nature. We want to use it without thinking, what are we causing nature? And whatever we cause, we're thinking, what are we causing ourselves for the future? It's entirely not the right calculation that we're supposed to make, because the calculation we're supposed to make is, how do we leave the whole of nature in harmony? And so it follows that the whole of nature is in harmony. Only we, when the evil inclination grows in us, the egoistic desire, and we're between us, and different pressures, and we're really in a ceaseless struggle between us, and also this way we relate to nature. How and what do I have to take? What do I have to do? And I don't care what happens later. The main thing, what's good for me at the moment, this is what I do. And if even in a moment, I harm myself by this action, I harm myself for the future, I don't take it into consideration. So our attitude, that as a result of growing in the evil inclination, is a destructive one, both for us and all the rest of the parts of nature. And the whole process that a person has to go through, eventually he has to acknowledge his evil, that this attitude isn't good for the entire system, and especially for him, that he grew in the evil inclination in order to correct it, to correct his relation to the still vegetative inanimate, to complete the entire system, for it to be one good, nice system, harmonious system, integral system. And the more a person grows in his mind, in his feelings, and uses all of his abilities incorrectly, then by that, of course, he absorbs nature's blows, and this is what happens with us, until we reach a state where we see that our ego grew to such an extent that we can no longer control it. We're losing the reins of how to control the world, in the family and at work, and also in relation to the general nature. Nature starts relating to us in a way that we become a bad factor globally. Then nature already starts on purpose, as one system starts relating to us this way. And this is the state we're in today, meaning that I come out to nature and I see compensation. I see how, nonetheless, what happens besides man is in balance. And we see that it's so. And even though that animals eat each other and live off each other, nonetheless, it's due to the basic need according to which everything exists. We, the Israelis, have this urge for adventure. Usually I'm not talking specifically about the track in Nepal, because it was known as a popular track. But usually there is this desire to do something challenging, the challenging rafting, the pleasure from adventure, and there's the Everest there. Many people try to climb it, losing their life, trying to conquer the mountaintop. Where does this desire of ours to conquer nature and challenge ourselves comes from? There are people that it's truly appealing for them. Like, there are people that need, that really have to cross the ocean in a boat. Yachts. Every year there are races. Hundreds of yachts with sails from Europe to South America and so on. So what happens here, the desire to get to know nature, it gives a person an inner sense of fulfillment, that when you're in nature, first of all, you don't get tired. I'm not talking about climbing or doing something, but nature, it doesn't make you tired. It fulfills you. It renews many things in a person. It heals. Because nonetheless, we're a result from nature and the still vegetative inanimate, as much as we feel our body. Besides our development on the speaking level, in which we distance from nature and we want to build ourselves above it. But coming out to some adventure, some trip, I don't think that there is any other nation like Israel that goes out and runs away and, goes searching for any corner in the world. No one believes that we're only 6 million Israelis, because there are so many of us overseas that it's really completely unproportional to our size. True. It's also because the country itself is small, and also because our desire is very developed. We want more and more to know, to see, to feel. And of course, in most cases, it's in a very primitive form. Taking a tour around the center of France or London, but somehow it fulfills us. But this desire eventually is an inner desire immersed in us, that we want to get to know the world we're living in, through it, to get to know a higher reality, the force that controls the world. It's in us. We've touched this force. We're in touch with the system, and the force is operating the system. And therefore, this recollection, this Rishimon, the wisdom of Kabbalah, it necessitates us time and time again to yearn for it. Therefore, I look at all these things that come our way for adventure, for trips. I look at it nonetheless as an intermediate phase that will push us to get to know nature more internally. Because time will go by and people will understand that inside all these journeys there's nothing special, but it's a pretty empty place, and what you have to get to know is not some shops or waterfalls here and there, which is also nice, but that there is tremendous global system, a system which is in godly harmony, divine or upper harmony, to get to know that system, to integrate in it. This is really the wondrous pleasure. That's how a person develops. I hope that soon. Where did they invent? What journeys will they invent for it? That's already the wisdom of Kabbalah. You said that we can exchange the challenges having to do with the physical dangers, like climbing high mountains, for another challenge. When we start the spiritual travel, not in body but in soul, and we climb the different degrees, we climb to higher and higher peaks. It's a beautiful adventure, but there a person has to be more of a hero than to climb the Himalaya. Because if climbing the Himalaya, he fills his ego and has to follow his inner urge, here he has to have a struggle with himself. In climbing the spiritual top, because there is a need to attain, and really it's a great peak that opens an endless world and such fields of nature that don't exist on the level of this world. But for this, they will have to exchange a person will have to exchange his desire, work against his ego, climb above it, where the whole mountain, like the Everest or like Mount Sinai, or regardless which mountains, for him to hate his nature in order to climb above it. When we climb the mountains, we overcome, and I have a kind of a hatred toward that mountain that I climb, and I want to control it. I conquer it. And this is similar to what we're doing on our spiritual journey. I have to hate this mountain to control it. Not hate in terms of erasing it, but to rise above it. And this is the challenge. This is a great challenge. Let's hope that people will understand that there are journeys here, additional journeys, and very, very vast, large, that bring adventures that are truly incomparable. I never climbed the Himalaya, but I was on journeys of this kind, and I think that I saw most of nature's wonders, and it's really incomparable with what this adventure gives a person to climb a mountain, to climb our inner mountains. But nonetheless, after you climb the inner mountain, it's like you've described our connection with external nature changes too. We connect with all of nature. When I stand on the peak of the Himalaya, even the Everest, then all in all I see myself big, strong. I came, I conquered. And what next? And next there's nothing. From an airplane you see more. I filled my ego, the control, the force of control, and I start coming down. On the spiritual journey where we climb with the ego, the mountain, in Hebrew, hal comes from the word hihurim, contemplations, meaning I'm thinking to go or not, climb or not, can I overcome, and so on. It's a whole process that we got from the system of from the method of the wisdom of Kabbalah. It's a complete method that is like our guide. And here we really have to understand that we are rising above this whole world, above the universe, above the stars, above everything, that when we climb, we start seeing, say, like from space, that you distance from Earth, but we see it in a transparent way. We see all of nature, how integrated it is, how it all operates, and the connection with the system of the solar system and the universe and our galaxy, and we're starting to feel the wholeness and perfection. I do not control it. I identify with it. I'm included in it. I'm a part of it. I'm integrated in it. And therefore this adventure is truly so, how to say, it's perfection. That in our world, even if we climb all mountains and we'll go down to all valleys, we will not feel more than that. I want to ask about a few of the things that you said. A person climbs a mountain, he reaches the mountaintop, his ego inflates, he succeeded in the task he set for himself, it's hard, he made it. He says, he's standing there, I'm here, I'm in control. This is what a person does his whole life. Whether he runs or climbs or lifts weights or whatever, this is something that we do every moment in life. Whatever I do, I overcome some hardship and continue, keep on living. And therefore, it's natural that this is how we are in this kind of a process that we all the time overcome. But the overcoming here, it's not against nature, but together, actually, in order to cause balance, to cause connection, to cause additional connection of mind with the rest of nature, and therefore, that I'm all the time advancing it, I never get into any disaster. This is what we have to discover, to see. I discover nature being all the time more friendly toward me, that it's, I'm coming at it with a hug, especially the still vegetative animate and speaking, by which we reach such forms of connection that I have nothing to be afraid of. There will never be any disaster. Nothing bad will ever happen to me or humanity, because we're headed toward balance, toward harmony. as opposed to what all these heroes that climb the mountains do and go into the valleys and do other things that want to overcome, that I'll rule, that it's the form of Pharaoh. There's one more thing that I read about this Israeli phenomenon overseas. Israelis overseas, they tend to be in groups. They really enjoy being with one another, talking into late night. It's very typical for Israelis being together. And also here, there was this title in one of the newspapers that in Nepal, they were stunned by the mutual guarantee of the Israelis that found themselves in that storm. It was amazing how much they cared of one another, and there were great efforts to save one another. They never saw such commitment between the people of the same country, like you talked about. You talked about the ties that we have between us, the Israelis, and with respect to spirituality. There are many such explanations, like we suffered an exile among the nations, which were cruel toward us, and we had, in order to survive, we had to help each other, support each other, and therefore we've developed this kind of nature that we care for one another because we're one nation dispersed among many nations and we have to care for one another and survive. There are many psychological explanations, as scientists say, but it's not because of that. It's from a much deeper place, more ancient, when we came out of Babylon as a people under Abraham, and he led us from Babylon to Canaan. He arranged all those Babylonians that came out with him in one group. He called them Israel, from the word Yashalkel, meaning straight to the El. El in Gematria, and its numerical value, means nature. So those who are aimed straight at revealing the secret of nature. So when in this search we discover the higher force that manages and controls this whole harmony, which is the upper force, or godliness, and as a result of being connected as one man and one heart, don't do to others what you don't want to be done to you, and love another as thyself. All these things were rooted in us and exist in us, despite the destruction, the hatred, unfounded hatred we fell into later on, which is actually the destruction of the temple of our collective vessel, the mutual guarantee which we had and broke. That's called the destruction of the temple. Then this way, even though that we're in exile, but nonetheless we have some remnants left from the previous connection, that we really hope that by these inclinations, small inclinations, we'll nonetheless warm them up, connect them together, and it will be a sufficient force in order to once again reach the love of friends. All of Israel are friends, which is really a part of the things that we have to do in order to adapt ourselves to nature and make sure that it's in order for us to reach balance with nature, connection with nature. Therefore, we have these small sparks that are left in us from back then that we have to connect by them and show the whole world, light to the nations, how to reach the general connection, where then a person will not control nature, he'll be in harmony with nature, he'll cause nature to be in harmony. This is exactly what I wanted to ask about this point, about this precision. You're saying that man's inclination is to rule, to control, to be above nature. And there is a different relation between man and nature, where you said that he is integrated in nature, mixed in nature. You said that if a person goes in this direction of mixing with nature, being along with nature, and a hug with nature, and not in control from above and so on, he leads himself through a path where nothing bad will ever happen to him, because the balance is in his hands. Man is the highest. If he causes balance, then balance is in, then nature is in balance. If he causes disbalance, and he is the one who causes the disbalance, then he is the one who's harmed more than anyone. So let's determine, what does it mean that man causes balance or disbalance? By wanting human society to be in balance, to participate in the connection and the equality, mutual concern, all the people are one family, all are friends. Balance between nature, okay, among all nature. As a result, for sure, we will relate nicely to nature in general. Balance among all people will bring us to all parts of nature. And then we'll get to know the general force in nature. We'll get to know godliness, which is the general law of nature. Give us a sentence of what is godliness. What is that? Something religious? No. It's the harmonious formula of nature that exists in all of nature. When we attain that there's none else besides Him, good, that does good. The general force that exists in the general system, and we completely identify with it. This is actually the goal of our development of people, and this is what we have to come to in the upcoming years. The wisdom of Kabbalah will help us do it. I'm sure that it'll happen quickly. And let's hope that as quickly as possible. We're enjoying that hope too. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best in your life.